It is Wednesday, December 24th, 2014, and you are listening to The Kickabout. The Kickabout is the Nationals podcast focusing on football in the UAE, and it is part of the Extra Time series. Happy holiday of your choice to all those celebrating, and to those who aren't, happy Wednesday. I am your host, Paul Freeland, and joining me today is Paul Oberjerke, sports editor of The National. Paul, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Back on break again with the Arabian Gulf League. We've wrapped up the most recent round of matches, including one of the matches that Al Ain had in hand. And as we hit the halfway mark, the story remains Al Ain. Just before we went on break, they drew 1-1 at Al-Shabaab. And in the last full round of matches, it's week 13 if you're keeping track, they beat Sharjah 4-1 at home. Elsewhere, Al-Shabaab won 2-1 at Al-Dhafra, despite Henrique Louvenor, their leading scorer, being sent off after just 10 minutes. Al Jazeera, in a typically Al Jazeera match, beat Al-Wasl 4-2 in Abu Dhabi. Emirates beat Kalba 1-0, Fujairah over Ajman 1-0. Al-Lakhli continued to disappoint, drawing 0-0 at home with Banias. And Al-Wada shook off their brief malaise, which probably had something to do with playing Al Ahly and Al Ain back to back, winning 2-0 at Al Nasser. So Al Ain, they are unbeaten in their last 9 AGL matches, with their 4-match winning run coming to an end just with that draw at Al Shabaab. They're level on points, on 27 points, with league leaders Al Jazeera, trailing only by virtue of their 4-3 loss in Abu Dhabi earlier this season. Paul, we've been saying that, at least for the first part of the season, there wasn't really any one standout team, but I think we can reasonably say that Al Ain are that team now. Can we call them favorites in the AGL?
I think we have to. They were so impressive over the past four or five matches. It just reminded you how much talent they have. I mean, Asamoah Gyan, a man who gave up a job he could have kept in the Premier League to come play here. He's still in his prime. Jiris Kembo Okoko is very strong and in a limited role right now because they're trying to nurse him back to health. Miroslav Stok, the Slovakian winger, also very strong. And they also have 7 internationals for the UAE. A significant fraction of the UAE national team comes from this one club. They just stampeded everyone just before the draw with Shabaab. They had won 4 matches by an aggregate 15-3, and that included WADA, who I think were actually leading the league at the time. Mm-hmm. So barring injuries, exhaustion from distractions, and they will have some, the 7 guys who are going to Australia, the 2 guys, Gian and Kembo Ikoko, who seem to be going to Africa for the African Cup of Nations, which begins January 17. And then the resumption of Champions League play in February and March. If that does not beat down Al Ain, I think they roll in. That's the great unknown, is these other matches outside of the league, and how important are they to them. Al Ain very much want to win an AFC Champions League.
And you touched on where I was thinking to go next. We've seen, if it's just straight up competition on the field with everyone healthy and available, Al Ain are, they can, at the very least, they're the equal of everyone in the AGL. But it's a matter of, I guess, do they hamstring themselves, or like what it would have to be some sort of external force, be it injuries or, I guess, just the demands, because we don't know what kind of depth they have really. As you mentioned, Gian, Stotch, and all their cohort of national team players. But do they have the depth to be able to compete domestically, both in the AGL and the Arabian Gulf Cup and in the Asian Champions League? I mean, if anyone would, you would think Al Ain would.
It is them, if anyone does have it. But even the deepest club in the country, it's not like they're Chelsea or Arsenal, where they literally have 2 first 11s. If Gian gets beat up or depressed or something bad happens to Ghana, at the African Cup, maybe he comes back. He's got mental issues. He's not as excited. Omar Abdulrahman has not played for Al Ain since before the Gulf Cup, where he got hurt. We haven't seen him. They have shown that they can win without him, but it's easier to win with him. And just all these other guys, and there was a noticeable letdown in their concentration and their level of performance after they came out of the semifinals with Al Hilal of Saudi having lost fairly narrowly 4-2 on aggregate. It took them, but again, we look back and what we thought was a beaten down, tired, jaded Al Ain were still hanging in there. They were right in the middle of the pack and they had the two games at hand in hand. And the one they still have in hand is against Fujairah at home, which almost has to be viewed as a certain victory. So in theory, even though they haven't played the match yet, Al Ain are 3 points ahead at the break.
All right. And now let's look at the league since we're taking a month off for the Asian Cup down in Australia, and then the Arabian Gulf Cup will be filling the break in the meantime. We've got Al Jazeera on top on 27 points. Like I said, with Al Ain, Jazeera have the head-to-head tiebreaker. Goal difference is only your number two tiebreaker. Shabab a point back on 26. Al Wada on 25, Nasser on 21, Al Ahly on 20. We'll run through these real quick and we'll see whether you think they can genuinely contend with Al Ain for the title or whether they're just the best of the rest. We'll start with Jazeera, Paul. We know they can score, obviously. You've seen that firsthand. In the second half of the season, can they figure out how to stop the other team from scoring?
That perhaps is the single most interesting question, the one we don't really have the answer to. After the match in which they defeated Wassel 4-2, their coach, Eric Gerrits, said that they would not be changing out any of their four international players, which means no help in the back four from outside the country. Given what they have, which is Abdullah Musa and the collection of other guys trying to play in the central defense, and Abdullah Musa was once a left back, and before that he was a left-sided midfielder, that's just not a very strong situation. And if they're going to remedy it, it will require them finding an Emirati defender that they can pry from another club, presumably a contender, which makes you wonder if it's going to happen. I have a theory that Eric Gerrits, who was a great right back for a bunch of European teams, won a European Cup. I think he actually is getting a little bit of a buzz off of all these 4-3 games, the 4-2 games, the 3-2 games, the 3-3 matches, because they haven't really moved aggressively to do something about it. They talk about it, and I do believe they will bring in someone, but will that person be any better than the guys who are trying and failing mostly to shut down other teams?
Mm. Yeah, because they're pretty sure the likes of Al Ain and the other teams up near the top can score more. We don't have any evidence whether Jazeera can necessarily stop other teams from scoring. We'll look at Shabab. Between Henrique Luvenor and Carlos Villanueva, I think they have 17 goals between them. That's a pretty healthy strike force there. But other than that, they're not the flashiest team out there. And as you said in their last one, they held Al Ain. They stopped them from winning, which is an achievement in itself. But they also dropped points at home. What do we make of Shabab?
Shabab are the great overachievers in the league, and they have been for a long time now. Almost at least once a year, the National, somewhere in our sports section, will write about how they're the quiet team, the most intelligently run club. They do not have a lot of money. They do not have a lot of fans, but they're always hanging around the top somewhere. They haven't actually won it since, I believe, 2006, the league, that is. But they don't panic. They stick with what they do and who they are and what they are about generally. And this is a situation where Aziz Bekhaydarov, their Uzbek midfielder, is in his fourth season in the UAE. That never happens. Carlos Villanueva, it's at least his third, if not his fourth season as well. Edgar Bruno, I believe this is his third season, Brazilian striker. They're about stability, knowing each other, cohesion. But the big but with them is their level of talent. How high is it really? And I think it lags behind that of the other two clubs we've been talking about, Al Ain and Jazeera.
Okay. And so for you this season, who is your biggest surprise, team or player?
I would say that Wada is the biggest team surprise in that we have been waiting about a year now for Wada to stop winning games or getting results. They just do not look that impressive. They look like a little more than a three-man team. Their keeper, Adel Al-Hosani, and their two Argentinians, Tagliabue and Damian Diaz. And my biggest surprise as a player, I guess it might be it could be Al Hosani of WADA. He, a few years ago, when they won the championship in 2010, he was very strong. He was also very young. He's been kind of out of the national team picture for a while now. He could be the best goalkeeper in the league right at this moment. Mm.
And we should also give special mention to Amer Omar, the Emirati midfielder, who's filling that Ismail Matar-shaped hole for Al WADA. He's chipped in with 6 goals so far and been a nice surprise as well. And then real quick, who's going down with Kalba?
Well, it certainly looks like Ajman at this point. Ajman for several years employed a coach who specialized in keeping them up. And they fired him, and he's gone, and look what happens. They're now at risk of dropping after they've been kept up for all those years. I think they are very much in trouble, and the other, Fujairah, is the other one you have to look at, even though they have a couple of victories now.
Mm. And then you might also want to look at Dafra. They're good at not losing, but they've only got 2 wins in 13, and at that end of the table, that can catch up with you real quick. Well, thank you for joining us on The Kickabout. This podcast was edited by Mohammed Al-Nayadi and produced by the Nationals Multimedia Desk. Follow the Multimedia Desk on Twitter at NSVUAE and the Sports Desk at SPRT National UAE. I'm Paul Freeland. Thanks for listening.